Blog Talk Radio. blessings. You are now listening into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing unity in the community, defeating our ego to make real change, featuring Robert Blaze. But before we get into that, I would love to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out on the archives here on blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. Also, like our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, everything spelled correctly. And for all my queens out there, while y'all are on the net, be sure to check out our latest blog, thequeendompost.blogspot.com. The Queendom is a movement dedicated to uplifting the first teachers and the first classroom, which is the women. So it's time to support sisters who support the community. And if you are not aware, today is a very, 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 very special day because it is the day that the planets Mercury, Venus, and Saturn are in alignment with the pyramids of Giza. So if you haven't already, get your meditation on, get your yoga on, get your Tai Chi on, however you get yourself together spiritually, get that together because there is some powerful spiritual energy coming through today. So you definitely, definitely want to take advantage of that. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest. Robert, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Peace, brother.
Peace, Queen. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. And to speak on this important subject, I mean, I feel like it's an honor and privilege to speak on this subject in and of itself and have the platform to do so. So I'm glad that you brought this up as a topic that you wanted to discuss. So, for my listeners who are not quite familiar with you, just give us a little bit of background on who you are and what you do.
Great. Peace and blessings, everyone. I hope your day so far has been filled with love and light, and hopefully we will fill your lantern with some more. About myself, my name is Brother Blaze. I also go by the government name of Robert Murray, for anyone who thinks I'm trying to hide or disguise who I am. But I am a writer. I just written my first book, many more to follow, Memoirs of a Neophyte. I am also a poet, spoken word artist, musician, and pretty much Renaissance man. I basically do everything. I'm an artist and I'm a very expressive person. I have studied Nwabu for many years. I have also walked the path of Freemasonry, and I have also studied practical Kabbalah. So I have basically searched, and my spiritual journey has taken me to many places. I've made many stops, and I've made many reawakenings. And it's something that's really filled my life with a lot of substance, and that's one thing I do try to share in my poetry, in my literature, in my music, so that humanity can benefit from it, because it's not for just my personal knowledge. It's something to be we receive in order to bestow, and this is my way of doing that and giving back what I receive.
Okay, definitely, definitely. All right, I'm going to ask real quickly that we just speak on the topic of unity in our community, and let's start by defining unity. Now, what is unity per se?
Unity, by my definition, is simply oneness. It's surrendering the I factor, or me, for the benefit and glory of the collective. It's surrendering over the ego, because there can't be an I and a we. It just doesn't work. So when you think of unity or unison, you think oneness. You think it's no longer it's my problem. It's our problem. That's unity. If you have an issue going on and I'm not concerned with it, then there's a discord and there's no unity. It's our, if it's your problem, then it's our problem. That's unity. And that's what is really plaguing our community, because that unity was lost. Usually, you don't, the thing is, for unity, you don't even have to agree. You don't have to be in the same doctrine or even the same culture or custom. All you have to do is find that common unity. That's what community is. You find that common unity, things that you can relate on. And then we can come together and do things like build the pyramids. I mean, the people who built the pyramids didn't, I'm sure they didn't agree on everything that in that day and time. But they worked together on that common purpose, and that's how they were able to attain and achieve success. We had that tribal unity once upon a time. We don't have it now, and the reason we don't have it now is because of ego.
Okay, definitely. I think, like, you hit the nail right on the head when you said we don't have to all agree, because I feel like the problem going on here is, like, we feel like there's only one way that we can all succeed and uplift ourselves and get out of the current state of, I guess, oppression that we're under. And I feel like people are now arguing to get points across, which defeats the point of unity, debating, all these mindless games, which are, you know, definitely a derivative of egocentric thought, to try and drive their point across to people, to other people who think differently, or for other people who might hold different doctrines to be true for them. And I think, like you said, it's so important that we understand we don't always have to agree, because each of our purposes are different, each of our perspectives are different. I always like to bring it back to the body in terms of discussing unity. In your body, you have many different types of cells. You have blood cells, you have skin cells, you have all these brain cells, you have all these different cells. And a skin cell doesn't argue with a blood cell, and a blood cell doesn't argue with the brain cell, because if there was some type of argument or discord, it would be called disease. So that's what we actually have in our community. We have this disease of us not understanding the importance that we all play and the roles that we all have in this community and in creating, you know, harmony and restoring balance. So I think that you hit the nail right on the head with that. Why is there a need for unity in the Black community?
Well, there is a need for unity because that's really the reason that we're all here.
Mm-hmm.
We're all here basically earning our way back home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what love is. Love is that urge and desire for to be reconnected to the, whether you want to call it divine energy, to the all, to the source. That is love. And it's that desire for that unity that we define as love. That's that feeling that we can hardly describe. That's what that is. We're all trying to find our way back home. And so unity is a very natural feeling. Everybody wants unity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody wants to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to feel complete, to feel that oneness, everybody wants to feel whole. Because when we don't feel whole, then there's misery associated with that, and nobody wants, human beings want to avoid the ouch factor. We want maximum pleasure and minimal pain. And feeling and working towards that unity, or feeling that unity that gives us that pleasure and that unity and that oneness. There is definitely a need for it, because it's a natural tendency. It's a natural urge. And the only thing that gets in its way is the ego. And when you really analyze it, it's petty. It's very petty. It's about our personal wants, our personal goals and desires that aren't in accord with the unity.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in our case, it's very needed. And really, Black people, we don't have nothing to argue about, whether it comes down to doctrine or anything else. We are not in a position to be arguing about it. I jokingly tell people that on my tombstone, I don't want it to read, that brother was right, because nobody's going to care. I want that tombstone to read, this brother helped change the world and make it better.
Exactly.
Because then it's not even no longer a matter of right or wrong. Other people will benefit from the work that I've done. And if more of us thought along those lines, mm-hmm. instead of trying to be right or trying to hail their opinions or their doctrine as sovereign and exalted over all others, and say, you know what, let's put this aside, let's get this work done, and then when our situation has been mm-hmm. satisfied,
mm-hmm.
then we can sit down and we can argue about doctrine. But we're not in the position to do that.
Definitely. I feel like the biggest thing is that we don't understand the fact that we preach about all these different doctrines, but we're not actually analyzing the message within them, which is to not have ego, which is to not, become egocentric and you know, indulge in the things that we call the flesh or, petty nature of all these different things. And when we look back, whether it be through indigenous, African spirituality, whatever it may be, they all tell us the same thing and the same message, and it's exactly to not argue about it, to not, you know, cause and create destruction and discord based off of these beliefs or these doctrines or whatever the case may be. So I feel like it's just us acting out one big oxymoron when we do engage in these types of activities. So how does the current state of disunity hurt us?
It hurts us because, and here's another key thing.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts us because it blocks our potential.
Mm-hmm.
It thwarts progress.
Yeah.
It actually cuts off our supply.
Mm-hmm.
When you have people who are out there in the community trying to make a difference, and they find and run into obstacles because the problem isn't rooted in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem from individuals that spills over into the community. It's an individual problem. It's a spiritual disconnect.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what spills over into the communities, and that's why you go out to the communities. You guys take, for example, the Million Man March, a well-intended event,
mm-hmm.
pure, noble intentions. But when you analyze it, it could be considered like one big barbecue of fish fry if everybody walks away and goes back to exactly what they were doing.
Exactly.
So you have people going out into the community trying to make a difference, and that difference is being made because they're trying to solve the problem. They're trying to solve the external stimuli, but they're
mm-hmm.
not satisfying the internal source.
Exactly.
A lot of our organizations in the past, because I just heard a brother say, and he's quite right, that our organizations were much more successful in the 60s and 70s. than they are now, and with all the technology we have, and basically you can Google anything, and all this information is right at our fingertips. That's sad, and that's because then they focused on making sure you knew the law, making sure you knew about this like that. They dealt with the individual. They made sure that every individual was taught something. They were reared a certain way so that they could be a benefit in the community. You can't solve a mass problem and have a bunch of people not in unison. There's no way to accomplish anything. It's a spiritual thing that has to be done. We have to do the internal work. That's why I say it's a community problem. No, it's all of our problems individually.
Mm-hmm.
When we do this individual work, then we will correct the problems in the community. But everybody's waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for
yeah.
the world to change, and then say, when the world changes, then I'll conform to it. That's not the way it works. You
mm-hmm.
have to be the environment is not an extension of yourself. The environment is an extension of you. You're not a product of your environment. The environment is an extension of you. So we look
mm-hmm.
out in the world, and we see this chaos, destruction, and we see this lethargic state that we're in. We are to blame. You can't look. Don't look to your neighbor. I don't look to nobody but in the mirror, because I'm part of the problem, and I have to correct that. And everyone should be thinking along this accord. That's the only way we're going to actually find that unity, is if we do that internal work in ourselves, and it'll spill over into the community.
Yes, definitely. So how can we build this unity not only with ourselves, once we've, you know, established that we're going to reprogram ourselves and how we operate, how can we establish and build this unity with our brothers and sisters?
That has to happen because I have to start, and I'm saying I because when I say I, I'm saying we. I'm only saying I because I'm putting myself in the scenario, in the equation. I have to stop minding my own business, because what happens in the community is my business. What happens in my nation is my business. A lot of people say, well, mind your business. Don't say that to that child. That's not your child. That's none of your business. No, yes, it is, because
Definitely.
It's going to affect me. You know what I mean? That ripple of discord is going to affect me in some way, shape, or form. We had that unity before. We lost it. Now everybody minds their business. Everybody got their own thing going on, and we isolate ourselves from each other. And we have to stop that. We have to stop that now. We have to say, okay, if Queen has a problem, I have a problem. If there's an issue going on, we have to make it our business. And if we don't make it our business, we have nothing to complain about. But that's the thing. If we want that unity with our brothers and sisters, we have to be there for our brothers and sisters. We have to want for our brothers and sisters what we want for ourselves. And a lot of people say this and preach it, but don't act on it.
Exactly. Very, very true. I think the biggest thing is taking responsibility. And we've been programmed to be scared of responsibility through whatever various means. The roots can go all the way back to slavery, or you can just talk about human nature and the lower nature anyway, and just in general. And, I mean, we can talk about all these different things, but the honest, true root of it is taking responsibility for yourself and then taking responsibility for your community and for your actions and, you know,
absolutely.
Stop playing the victim role. We really can't sit here any longer and afford to have non-cultivating conversations that yield no results, that yield no progress, that yield nothing but emotionalism and feel-good rhetoric. We can't do that anymore. It's not the time for it. It's 2012, soon to be 2013. If we're still acting and asking for the same things we were asking for in 1967, we need to reevaluate ourselves. We need to reevaluate our position. It's unacceptable. It's not something that we can continue to afford to do. We can't lose any more time on this. So how does egocentric programming prevent this progress that we have? And what is egocentric programming, by the way?
Egocentric programming. And this happens, we do it to ourselves, and then the things that occupy our energies further complicate the problem.
Exactly.
But for example, if someone hits me in the eye, and I get a black eye, like you were speaking on being victimized. If someone hits me in the eye and I get a black eye, I don't have a black eye because someone hit me. I have a black eye because of my inability to defend myself. You see, so it's about, like you said, taking responsibility. Now, where the ego comes in, ego will step in and say, he hit me because I'm in pain. I don't like what happened. You know, that was wrong and all this. And you know, you play that victim, and your ego, you know, you hide behind that. The ego is a shield that keeps the ego is a shield that keeps you everything about you.
Exactly.
How I feel about this, what I think about this. But if there's a problem in the community, who cares what you think? Solve the problem. And that's the thing. We put our energies into our egos. We build up this what's called psychic self-defense from the wrong things. So in other words, whatever's going to use to appease us or make us feel better about ourselves, we cling to that. You know, instead of making the changes that we need to make, we cling to the things that validate whatever decision we made, no matter how wrong it is, no matter how idiotic it is. But this makes me feel better. This makes me look better. This puts me in better graces, or this makes me appear in a certain class or whatever, or I feel good about myself when I cling to this or hold this, and it suits me better. And so we, like, instead of dealing and changing the world around us, we try to create an alternate reality in and of itself, which, of course, creates another problem instead of solving the problems that we had initially. And we don't put our energy into first breaking down our walls and putting ourselves in a position where we can make a difference in the community, where we can make sure that, especially when it comes down to, I mean, when you look at community and you look at that and you look at ego, ego is the main part reason why we have so many such bad man-woman relationships amongst our people, which is extremely embarrassing because we are, I mean, I'm all about humanity, but we are the most loving people on the planet, hands down. We're the most loving people on the planet, and our man-woman relations is in the basement. And that's because men not stepping up and being men and holding behind our, you know what I mean, holding behind our egos because of our ego, we're not stepping up and taking our place. We're not saying, nah, sister, boom, 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 do this, do this. And we're not doing our jobs. And that's why our community is in such a decline. Women have been elevated. Men have been de-escalated. And the thing is, we allowed it to happen. And we, what do we do about it? We complain. We blame the white man, which is always the easy scapegoat for a lot of us. We blame the white man. We blame this. We blame that. We blame society. And we're sitting around. Everybody's waiting for Obama to solve their problem. They're waiting for Jesus to come back and do it. They're waiting for somebody to come back. And I say, why do that when you were sent to solve the problem?
Exactly.
But because of ego, we sit up there and we try to feel good about ourselves in the messed up situation that we're in instead of solving the problem, which would bring everybody peace. Because in the end, that's all we all want anyway. But we start thinking these paradigms of thought to try to make us feel comfortable with who and what we are, so that way we don't have to do anything. It's made easy. We're appeasing ourselves instead of acting on what we need to act on.
Definitely. All right, we have 33 minutes left in the live stream. I am about to stop for a quick commercial break. And once we come back from the quick commercial break, then we will continue the discussion and then begin to take call-ins. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. If you're on the line, just press 1 and you'll be got into in the appropriate order. All right, so we're just going to take a small, small commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. To check them out, visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.
Having trouble losing weight? Feeling tired, sluggish, unhealthy, and stressed? Peace, family. This is Tay Queen here to tell you about the Inside Body 30-Day Challenge. This incredible health and weight loss program is designed uniquely for your body chemistry. This treatment plan corrects your vitamin and mineral deficiencies, restoring your body, mind, and spirit back to optimum health and wellness, creating a happier and more harmonious you. All for an affordable one-time program fee of $75, which includes an individualized whole body meal treatment plan. Also try the Inside Body Herbal Garden Tea Formula. These all-natural tea formulas can be used as a daily supplement to increase waist loss by cleansing the digestive system organs, as well as buildup of mucus and regulating your body's elimination. So order your teas today for the reasonable price of $15 per half-ounce bag, shipping and handling included. For more information on how to get started on your challenge, or to learn more about our garden tea formulas, visit www.insidebodybyconcier.com. That's www.insidebodybyconcier.com. Contact Inside Body through the email conciergethoughts@ymail.com. Call them at 717-943-5025. Or I like them on Facebook.com/HealEyeSelf. That's HealEyeSelf. Don't forget to mention you heard about the challenge through Conversations with the Queen and receive your free tea formula when you sign up. So stay healthy, stay motivated, and most importantly, stay woke.
I stay woke.
All right, y'all. We're back and we're here discussing unity in the community, defeating our egos to make real change, featuring Robert Blaze. And we are going in on this subject right now. We're still speaking about egocentric programming. And please do call in with your questions and comments. Again, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. All right. So, now back to the topic at hand. Why is it important that we understand ego?
It's important that we understand ego because that is our own, you ever hear the expression, you are your own worst enemy. They're talking about the ego. Mm-hmm. Because the ego is what triggers our lower nature.
Mm-hmm.
And prevents the higher self from acting on its divinity.
Definitely.
And which would explain why we see the chaos in our community that you see.
Exactly. Definitely, definitely true. How can we overcome egocentric programming?
The same way you attain wisdom, because it's a wise thing to do, and that's humbly. We have to, first of all, humble ourselves. A lot of us would like to see ourselves as kings and queens and sovereigns and all these nobles and all these fancy titles that, you know, we like to make ourselves feel good and better. But rarely do we build ourselves up to that point. There are some of us who do, like, you know, sisters such as yourself and in your circle. Yeah. But there are others who consider themselves, oh, I'm a king because I'm black, or I'm a queen because I'm, no. You have to build yourself up to that point. It's one thing to admit that you are a god. It's another thing to build yourself up to god status.
Definitely.
And once you get to that status, you will not have an ego because there won't be no need for it.
Pretty much.
So exactly. So we need to stop hiding behind. It gives us an excuse. It gives us something to hide behind.
Mm-hmm.
And hiding isn't going to solve our problems. None of it. It's not going to solve our individual problems, and it's not going to solve problems in our community. All it's going to do is create a buffer for you to make you feel better about the rut that you're in.
Exactly.
And in this day and time, that needs to be broken down, and it starts with all of us humbling ourselves and saying, okay, the way I've been living and the way things have been going, the way we've been going is not working. This is not working. This is not in order. But everybody just keeps watching these wheels roll around. Nobody stops it. Nobody stops it. And we're waiting for, everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it. We are too occupied with other things to do. What could be more important? But, you know, ego says that's not my problem. Ego says that's not my issue. That's them over there. That's not us over here. And that's how we bring about our own demise. We are our own worst enemy, and it is because of our egos. Men have it more than women, but women have it as well.
Oh, yes, especially the black woman. We can have an ego now that'll rival any man on the planet.
You said it, I didn't. I don't want nobody calling up getting on me.
Nah, I'll say it for us. definitely we do. All right. Not all of us, but, you know, some of us definitely can. All right, so what are the steps that we need to take in order to create true change? Excuse me.
The steps we need to take to create true change. First, we need to change ourselves. We need to change our nature. We need to change the way we view this world. We need to change our approach to what we really want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this world is not going to change unless I do something to help initiate that change. I have to at least plant a seed or do something, or everything's going to remain the same. So we all have to do some internal work, because a lot of people say it's part of the community, go out of the community and solve it, and that's why things have only gotten worse today. That's not the root of the problem. It starts with all of us in ourselves. We have to change the way we go about our business. We have to change the way we relate to ourselves, the way we deal with ourselves, the way we see ourselves. We have to find the true beauty in ourselves, that divinity in ourselves, that God or goddess in us, and we have to manifest that outward. And if we all do that, then we will meet on that level. But we're not meeting on a level. That's the problem. We have to do that internal work. A lot of people say, okay, there's a problem out there. Now, you have to fix that inside, because when you do that internal work and you have that peace, it manifests right. The environment around you changes. The whole wavelength changes because you're vibrating on a different frequency.
Definitely.
And the stimuli around you will be affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and mentally. They'll pick up on that. When somebody walks into rooms, somebody might say, whoa, there's something about that, you know, that person or whatever. It catches your attention. It grabs you. It's like, whoa, who's that? That's the type of work we need to be doing with ourselves. And then when we are in that fight and we are in that walk, walking in our purpose, people will see. The youth will see that.
Definitely.
The youth will see that, and they will begin to emulate that. And not only that, but the elders will see. A lot of people say, when you're older, it's too late. No, the elders will see it, and then they will actually start caring enough to actively take part and what's going on in the community, instead of locking their doors and being scared of the young fools out there.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I feel like it starts with simple things. Like, it starts with relearning ourselves. Like you said, it starts internally. So we have to relearn, we have to remaster life as if we are children.
Exactly.
I feel like it comes from simple things like relearning how to breathe, relearning how to eat, relearning how to think, relearning how to sleep, relearning how to do simple things that we've been taught, but we've been taught under a certain programming and under a certain guise of truth, but it's not. It's misinformation, and it's an egocentric programming, and it comes down to every single last thing that we do, because it's a culturally perpetuated ideal. So we have to completely change our ideals of culture and how we understand life and how we live our lives in and of ourselves. So I always say this, my show is first and foremost for the re-education of people from the most simple and basic point. I'm not here to spit rhetoric. Neither are my guests. We're not here to just talk about things that's going to stir up people's attention. We're here to fundamentally reteach certain principles that have been lost that may seem simple, it may seem basic, but we are a race of people who, honestly, at this point in time, we are like children. So we need to come back to that point. And like you said, if we're at that point like children, we got to humble that ego, because that ego is making us feel, I'm grown. I don't need nobody telling me what to do with my life. No, calm that. Break that down, because obviously you're grown, but you're still not fulfilled in yourself. You're still not happy. You're still not where you want to be, because no matter how grown you are, you always have time to learn something new to better yourself. So, you know, that whole aspect of thought just needs to be changed and needs to be reshaped. All right, so what advice would you give to brothers and sisters out there putting in the work in the community, or those who would like to start?
I would first like to say that, first of all, this is a huge problem for us, but it's not a hard problem to solve. It really isn't a hard problem to solve. It just needs the energy behind it. We have to get up there. We got to stop being afraid of our children, for one. We have to stop being afraid of our children and teach them. We have to teach them. We have to walk on our children. When you see them walk around with their pants pulled up, it doesn't have to be your child. Make them pull their pants up. Don't ask them. Make them pull their pants up. Simple things like that. I'm not saying put yourself in harm's way, of course, but take an active interest in something other than ourselves. We have to stop looking at it as, well, that's their problem and things like that. We have to start, men have to start stepping up and taking our rightful place. We can't expect, you want to say, well, women today, we complain about women out here today and all this other stuff. Okay, well, they're doing it that way because we haven't been stepping up and we haven't been doing our jobs. That's just the bottom line. Now, we can say, oh, society this and everybody's against the black man. Well, guess what? If we are as divine as we say we are, then there's nothing that can stop us from doing what we need to get done. That's just the bottom line. We're too late. It's too late in time, and this world is getting too far beyond repair to hide behind excuses, to hide behind things. We have to, as men, we have to step up. As gods, we have to step up and do what needs to be done. We can find an excuse or a way to do everything else. Now, if we can connive a way to try to seduce a woman, we can connive a way to try to improve our communities. That's just the bottom line. It's not a hard problem to solve. We just have to put the energy behind the right things. We know how to party. Don't nobody party like us. We know how to do all these different things. We know how to entertain. We know how to do, nobody does it. When we put our energy behind something, we master it. We take things over. So why haven't we taken over our communities? Because we're not putting the energy behind it. And as long as people, if you find a purpose that you feel strongly for, put that energy into that purpose and do what needs to be done. Do what the Spirit moves you to do. If you're doing that eternal work and you're walking in your purpose, people are going to catch on. People are going to support you. And you're going to make a change. And you're going to make a difference in somebody's life. And that person who you affect may affect thousands or even millions. But it has to start. We have to start putting that energy out there. We have to start putting that positive energy out there in order to manifest that change. We can't start thinking, you know, one day we shall overcome. This is the day we're supposed to overcome already. So we have to put that energy out there, speak it into existence, and now we have to start manifesting it. And it can happen, and I encourage you, you have to just stay the course. Know what you're doing, believe in what you're doing, put that energy behind it, and there are people, the change is already happening. It's already happening. We just don't see it. It's in the larval stages. So people just have to stay the course, and the more people do it, the better off we're all going to be.
Exactly. All right, so I'm going to open up the lines to take calls. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. Please raise your hand by pressing 1, and we will address your comments or questions and definitely do so in a timely manner. All right, let my callers know about your endeavors, your projects, and what you have going on and how we can support you.
Sure, great. I have a book that's out. It's my first book. It's titled Memoirs of a Neophyte. Mm-hmm. It's about walking the spiritual path, different obstacles you can come through, and it discusses some things that we've talked about tonight and many other things that you go through in life and the reason to go inside, do the work to change your life and the lives of others. And it's available on Amazon.com. It's also available on Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. I also wrote a stage play that we're going to begin rehearsal on next Sunday. The stage play is called Footies. It's about a grown 25-year-old man who has a disease that keeps him as a child. Mm-hmm. And it's a dramedy that's real symbolic. And again, it touches on this subject about, you know, the role of a man in the community and how certain things that go on in a household can affect the whole nation of people. And I also have a book of poetry called A Walk in the Human Dynamic that's slated to be released either next January or February.
All right. Well, you heard the brother, support the brother, and definitely do so because you hear what he's talking about much positivity and great things to come from what he's doing. All right, so we do have a caller on the line from 508 area code. Caller from the 508 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Peace, Queen.
Peace.
Hi, this is Jerrica. I'm calling in. I honestly feel like this show came just in time. It's exactly what I needed to hear. Every point there crossed, all the I's were dotted, and I guess I was speaking with an elder today about humbling myself, really, and I have been going through this bitterness, and I didn't know that. I guess I haven't been talking to enough people to know that our young people get bitter too, depending on what you go through and where life takes you.
Definitely.
So I'm coming out of this bitterness, and I realize bitterness is something that is different from ego, but I don't know what the relation is. Can you help me on that?
I would like. First of all, thank you for your call, sister. Thing is, happiness. A lot of us grew up with chips on our shoulders. Some of us grew up in a rut. We grew up under certain circumstances. We go through certain traumas. But happiness isn't something that will fall into your lap one day. That's something you have to seize. That's something you have to claim. And don't wait on that, because life is very short and you want to seize that happiness. See, life is something. We're here to learn a lesson, and there's no reason why we can't find enjoyment in learning these lessons, because it's all for the benefit of going back home. So embrace life, sister, regardless of what you've been through, and I don't know the particulars, but in any event, embrace life, embrace love, embrace happiness. Don't allow that, but it does relate to the ego, because it reverts to you and the way you deal with stimuli. It comes back to that ego. It does come back to that. And so you, it's like I said, it's easy to get caught in that, but I don't want you, and you shouldn't want you, to go through life carrying that baggage with you. You have to let these things go, because you can't. It's blocking that light. It's blocking that love. We don't want nothing to get in the way of that. We want you to live a long time and enjoy your life. You follow? So let go. Embrace love. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to do, because we're faced with real situations in life, and sometimes it comes without warning. But
yeah.
you need embrace love and embrace life, and you will be much happier. And your happiness, again, sister, it affects the collective. You're gonna call your unhappiness is gonna cause unhappiness in others. Your hurt is gonna hurt others. So you need to embrace love and embrace life, and know that as long as you are breathing, there's a chance for you. There's an opportunity for you to do something miraculous, and it starts now as soon as you decide.
Exactly. If I may add to it, bitterness and ego are connected by this simple thread. Bitterness comes from the ego because it stems from fear, because you've suffered some traumatic event in your life and it's made you bitter about certain circumstances. So when that bitterness sets in, it's because of that fear, and fear stems from the ego. It's a protective aspect of yourself. You're trying to protect yourself. So having that bitterness and carrying that bitterness refers to your ego back again, and it's not negative in the aspect that we have fear, because fear has its place in life, but it's how we deal with our fear. And we must learn to overcome things and to not be bitter. I think I wrote a status on Facebook about this the other day. If I was bitter towards brothers for every brother that I've encountered and what they've done, in relationships with me and what I've endured, I mean, I'd be sitting here all messed up, you know what I'm saying, all kinds of crazy. But because I choose to move on, because I know that I have a certain life purpose, and my life purpose doesn't include perpetuating destruction and perpetuating negativity and perpetuating the black woman stereotypes. You understand what I'm saying? So my inner journey is about healing, and so bitterness is there to prevent you from healing. And that's how it's related to your ego, which is preventing you from understanding your true self and understanding your true power. Because ultimately, can't nobody make you feel any type of way you don't allow them to make you feel. And I know it's easier said than really understood, but that's the honest to God truth. So, you know, just go into yourself and really, really look at the situations that you need to heal from, and then seek the information and, you know, do the spirit work and talk to your spirit guides and your ancestors so that they may guide you to people who can give you the proper information and healing techniques that you need to put in to work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helps.
Mm-hmm. I was listening, and I did see that Facebook status, and that really made a connection for me so I could was able to ask this question about the relationship between bitterness and ego, because I'm bitter about relationships I've had that reflected the type of relationship I have with myself, and truly it's because the masculine principle is stronger in me than the feminine principle is, and I understand these terms, and you know, spiritually I could be on the same page, but lately I've been frustrated. I feel like I've forgotten everything I've learned, and I'm relearning them over again. And, you know, I was blessed to be able to speak to an elder, and I'm blessed to have this connection to this show so that I can feed on the wisdom again and try to relearn these important angles to look at life. And I know, like, one particular area I need healing in where I'm bitter is the division between human beings. I used to always just be a unifying person, but I went through some relationships where division was so it was just everywhere outside of me, and now I'm reflecting it, and I've been waiting, like I heard earlier in the show, I've been waiting for the environment to change, and then I'll cope with it.
Okay.
Instead of changing myself, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for your input and calling in and your powerful question. And so thank you for calling in, and I hope you do call in again, and, you know, just any ways that you can, you need any help, you know, you can definitely reach out to me personally, or you can go to the blog or whatever the case may be, and we can definitely, you know, help you out with some spirit work that can actually help you work through that. All right. So thank you for calling in.
Okay, family. Love you.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and love, blessing. Thank you, brother.
All right. We did have some other callers, but somehow they got dropped during that session. So I don't know if they still want to ask their questions, but we do have a question from the chat room. The question is, peace, I am thinking about starting my own, excuse me, I got lost, hold on, excuse me, sorry guys, I'm thinking about starting my own outreach center for minority children in the community. It will be based on the arts. How would I need to approach this, getting the message out properly and effectively?
Wow. First of all, I applaud your efforts because we need more of that. Definitely more exposures for to the arts for our youth, because
Definitely. They
say you judge people by their literature. And by the, if you listen to our music and you see the majority of the type of literature that our people are putting out, we're crying out for help. That's just the way it is. So how would you do that? First of all, in this day and time, we are blessed to be able to have free media.
Mm-hmm.
Free is something we all can afford. It's in every it meets every budget. So use social media, use free media, and put the word out there. If you know any organizations or groups that have parent groups, reach out to the parent groups. I'm sure they would like for some positive activities for their children to be involved with after school. There's a lot of after school programs that are being closed down and everything.
Yep.
You could be a definite source. Parents will definitely reach out to you and work with you to give their children something constructive to do. So definitely use free media. Reach out to parent groups. Reach out to your community leaders, whatever community you're in. They will it will make them look good to say that they helped you. So they will, if you reach out to them, I'm sure they will assist you, maybe even with funding. So reach out to people, reach out to parents, talk about what you're doing. Let people know what you're doing. You'd be surprised how many people will want to help you, but want to support. But you got to talk about it. Like I said, it's a purpose walk. You got to let people know what you did. If they don't know, they can't support. They can't bring their children to your facility. So you may change somebody's lives. You're changing lives out here. So you got to talk about what you're doing, especially when you're doing something positive.
Exactly.
So definitely you got to put the word out there. Use free media. Reach out to people, especially if it's election year. You know what I mean? reach out to people. If you, the more you talk about it, and the more you let people you let know, the more people you have who will be willing to help you, especially with something like that. And I hope your project is blessed. Well, not hope. I will that your project is blessed and continue success.
All right. Hope that answers your question, sister. Anybody who's left in the actual live stream and the chat room and they're just listening through the live stream, please switch over now and call in. The call in number is 917-932-8881. We do have another caller with a question. Caller from the 717 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions pertaining to the show? Caller from the 717. I guess they're just... All right. So I guess they were just listening. We do have another caller. Caller from the 336 area code. Caller from the 336 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Hi, peace. This is Benita. How are y'all doing tonight?
Peace. Bless, Benita.
Thank you. I just put in a chat about the nonprofit organization or the arts-based outreach center for minorities.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know how do I reach out to getting our positive kings and queens out here to volunteer, or like not people that have a lot of money, but people like normal people, like, you know, like you and I that can, how do I reach out to them properly?
One thing I would suggest, because I'm into the arts as well, you have a lot of people who would be very willing to give back, to support, to come and assist you with workshops, things of that nature, but you have to, like I was suggesting earlier, reach out to certain groups. The more you talk about your project, maybe you talk to some of your community leaders, and talk with artists. Talk with artists and musicians, people in the arts. Discuss with them. Let them know what you're doing, and you will be surprised. They will be more than I do poetry workshops all the time. You know, somebody lets me know they have an event going on. It feels good to give back, because you'll be surprised how many artists will be more than willing to give assistance, monetary assistance, to come and do workshops for you. They would love to do it, because that's their way of giving back. So if you reach out to them, you'll be surprised. I think you'll be surprised the response you get and the publicity that you will actually get.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sister.
Okay, peace. We do have another caller from the 347 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
I simply want to say that this is a great program. I'm so glad that I was able to catch it. Very insightful commentaries on the parts of both you and Brother Blaze. So I just want to express gratitude for that. I've learned quite a bit tonight from all of you, from the both of you. That's essentially it. One point. I know that the brother mentioned he has a book called Memoirs of a Neophyte. I wanted to ask him, in that book, does he address the issue of ego and the effect or impact it has on our community?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is addressed, yes.
Okay. All right.
In this book,
thank you.
I address a lot of different issues, but we tackle that problem as well.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, blessings.
Peace. All right. We are winding down the show, and thank you for being on the show. Thank you for participating, and thank you for everybody who called in. It was a wonderful and great show. Please do call in and check out our show next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same day, Monday, and we will be having another great show with another great sister who is going to, you know, definitely put down the information. Her name is Starlight Seven, or you know her by different names. You can definitely check out more information on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. We'll be talking about holistic health and different topics of that nature. So definitely do come back next at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Bilal, All Matter.